It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 140 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And I am, of course, especially excited about today's topic.
Now, Carson, why would you be excited about today's topic?
There's no real one reason. I just think there's probably five or so really good reasons. Mainly talking about my five favorite scum ships.
Well, last week we did talk about our top five Imperial threats, so this week we thought it'd be fun to shift over to the Scum and Villainy faction and talk about our top five Scum and Villainy threats.
Yeah, this way we can finish up talking about the two factions in X-Wing right now. And boy, do the Scum have a lot of good threats here.
Yeah, lots of great ships to talk about, so I think we should get right into it. All right, so last week we had a lot of fun talking about those five Imperial ships, though that was tricky assembling that list because there were a lot of great ships that could have fallen into those five slots here. We kind of had the same problem this week, but we were able to get it down to our top five scum ships, even though there were a lot of great scum ships that almost made our list.
Absolutely. I mean, in my mind, the top three here for scum are pretty solidly locked in, but I think there's a lot of debate you could have on the four and five slots. And we'll talk through our reasonings on our choices and definitely discuss our honorable mentions that were just barely not quite good enough for the top five.
One thing I think is really interesting about the Scum and Villainy faction, though, is looking at our top five picks here. It's a much more diverse selection, whereas when we were talking about all the Imperial ships last week, for the most part, a lot of those focused on aggression and pushing out a lot of damage here. Whereas in Scum and Villainy, we see a nice mix of different control effects and then just some all-around heavy-hitting ships.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say if there was a focus, it would be on control here for the Scum faction. And, you know, what a great start to our top five. Just a nice little control ship for just, you know, just a few points. You get quite an impactful control ability here. In the Jakku Gunrunner.
Yeah, kind of in the same way that we saw the TIE Bomber doing a lot of work for a really inexpensive cost over for the Imperials, where that bomber focused on throwing out some really powerful torpedoes. Here we have a generic ship that puts a really good emphasis on control with that built-in space tug tractor array and comes in at a very inexpensive point cost, right now just 28 points.
Yeah, I mean, a Z95 is 24 points, so a Jakku Gunrunner being just four more points than the cheapest scum ship available, and substantially better for four more points. You get an extra hit point and, of course, access to that Space Tug Tractor Array, which grants the Quad Jumper the action, choose a ship in your forward firing arc at range 1. That ship gains one tractor token, or two tractor tokens if it is in your bullseye firing arc at range 1.
And tractor tokens are a very powerful game effect here. It allows you to reposition ships as well as reduce their agility. We saw a little bit of a shakeup in the way tractor tokens work in second edition, where stacking up multiple tractor tokens is not going to net reduce the agility. It'll always just be if you have one or more tractor tokens, you go down one agility. But you are able to reposition not only small base ships, but also medium and large base ships.
Absolutely. I mean, it's pretty easy for these Jakku Gunrunners to be effective against those small base ships. Just, you know, snagging a Phantom at range 1 is not that difficult when you're moving first at initiative 1. You can kind of anticipate their cloak and go for it. And then you're, you know, getting to impact your own repositioning action on them, set them up where you want them, and reduce their agility. But it also works pretty well against those medium base ships. So they're going to have a larger base, meaning it's going to be a lot easier to set up that bullseye arc. And there you can get the two tractor beams, meaning you can reduce their agility and reposition those medium bases. And man, does Redline really not enjoy being tractored around.
And we see a metagame right now that's very heavily focused on small and medium base ships. Those are kind of the dominant ships right now. And having that second factor of the two tractors when they land in your bullseye firing arc is just that much better on the space tug, because naturally, the larger base a ship has, the easier it is to land in that bullseye.
And, you know, most of the Imperial lists are going to be outbidding the scum lists here, but I think the Jakku Gunrunner gives Scum a really meaningful way to interact with these lists. You know, you don't have to worry about Soontir or Whisper being, you know, really hard for your damage dealing ships to get an arc. If you can land these tractor actions and put these repositioning ships in a position that they can't, you know, boost or barrel roll out of, then you really get to leverage, I think, Scum's advantage here in controlling those aces.
And controlling aces is really what you're bringing those Jakku Gunrunners for, kind of in the same way that Soontir Fell was an answer to other Imperial ace ships. Jakku Gunrunner is your answer to ace ships, whereas you're not going to try and outposition them or outmaneuver them. You're going to try and force them into undesirable positions so you can leverage that reduced agility and then capitalize on it with your other stronger ships.
And one last surprise feature for the Quad Jumper is, in a pinch, it can be used as a poor man's coordinate. I saw the Minock Open champion, Garrett Jost, use these Jakku Gunrunners to tractor his own Boba Fett forward to set up some early repositioning.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because the tractoring effect that you get from a tractor token doesn't actually count as a booster or barrel roll, even though that's effectively what you're doing. So that would enable you to get some really cool repositioning where you can tractor your own ships, cause them to do these booster barrel roll effects, and then on your ship's normal move, have it move and then still be able to boost your barrel roll.
Right. Now, you are lowering your agility down, but that can definitely catch some opponents off guard. I don't think they'll see that one coming too often. So a very versatile ship, that Jakku Gunrunner, for just 28 points.
All right, so our number four pick is vying for the title of the best Arc Dodger in the Scum and Villainy faction. Now, she's got some tough competition because she has to face off against a Scum ace like Fen Rao. But I think right now, with the game positioned where it is, her abilities kind of put her at the top as the premier Arc Dodger for Scum and Villainy.
Coming in at number four for Scum and Villainy, we have Guri, the robot super arc dodger, coming in at initiative 5 for just 62 points. And while that is a bit on the expensive side for a small base ace, Guri does really bring a lot to the table. You have that Star Viper barrel roll using the banks instead of the straight template.
And we've talked about the micro thrusters before. Having that banked barrel roll kind of gives you the effect of basically two repositioning actions or one and a half repositioning actions, where you can reposition and move at an angle. So you kind of change your arc and also change your position, which is really good.
Right. And then if you also put advanced sensors on Guri, then you have the option to reposition after you move or use those barrel rolls before you move. And you can really dramatically react to what your opponent's doing. And, you know, of course, it comes with some great action efficiency with her ability at the start of the engagement phase. If there is at least one enemy ship at range 0 to 1, you may gain one focus token.
And looking at Guri's action bar, since she is a droid, instead of having access to the focus action, she has access to the calculate action. And normally this, unless you're getting multiple calculate tokens, this is a little bit of a handicap because on its own, a single calculate token is worse than a single focus token. But the fact that she has that built-in pilot ability actually means that she can get both a focus and a calculate, which is a generally better value as long as she's getting in really close against her opponents.
Right. I mean, you know, it would probably be better in most cases to have, you know, two focus tokens instead of focus and calculate. But I think, you know, having that worse focus means we can get Guri at a little bit cheaper, which is great.
And you also have the option then, too, of not taking that calculate at all. And if you move into that range one, you can take that target lock action or maybe a reposition with that fancy barrel roll or a boost and still get some modification from that free focus token.
You know, where Guri might suffer here is on offense. She's got, you know, amazing repositioning and pretty good defense with 3 agility and access to multiple green tokens to modify that, plus 5 hit points. But she is just rolling 3 attack dice, and she's going to be on a bit more of the expensive side, somewhere between 60 or 70 points. So we see a lot of people, you know, looking for offensive elite pilot talents. But, you know, it really doesn't matter if your offense isn't that great if you can get Guri into the late game. Because there you can just leverage, you know, pretty great defense. And if Guri is moving last, they shouldn't really ever get a shot off on her. It's just a trick of getting her to that 1v1 stage.
And I think Guri's one of the reasons you're seeing a lot of popular scum and villainy lists nowadays go for a very aggressive and very strong bid. Just because it's so important to be reactive and having first player on your opponent there so all your moves can react to your opponent's matched I-5 ships.
Absolutely. I think Guri is probably one of the biggest reasons that scum and villainy lists would want to take a bid is to win out on that I-5 repositioning. But if you do win that bid and you're just up against I-5s or less, Guri is absolutely the best closing ship for you there.
All right, so number three on our list is one that has kind of surprised me. This was certainly a ship that was not on my radar, unlike a lot of these other ships here, until recently when we started to see it be really effective at some big events.
Yeah, this one, you know, after seeing its second edition rebalancing, it was on my radar, but I think my memories from first edition pushed it off so that I didn't try it out as early as I should have. And when I finally got it on the table, definitely impressed. And I think I've seen a lot of other players do very well, including this ship in their list. You know, for the price you pay, you're getting quite a mean control ship here.
So we're talking about number three on our list is Forlom in the G1A Starfighter. This is an I-3 ship and comes in at just 49 points. So baseline, just about a quarter of your total list there. And you've got a pretty interesting multifaceted pilot ability here. Forlom reads, after you fully execute a red maneuver, gain one calculate token. At the start of the end phase, you may choose one ship at range 0 to 1. If you do, transfer one of your stress tokens to that ship.
Right. I mean, so pretty powerful stress-dealing ability. The timing on it's a bit late, of course, dealing at the end phase, but I think it just synergizes well with some of the other stress pressures that scum have. And on top of that, you have a white jam action, which is pretty rare, and one that I think Forlom uses pretty well.
Well, yeah, it opens up some really interesting control opportunities here. Obviously, your pilot ability gives you the opportunity to transfer stress tokens from you to your opponent. So not only are you making your ship be able to move more easily or even just take another red maneuver the following turn to get that calculate token again, you're also getting the control effect of moving a stress token onto your opponent's ship. When you combine that with a built-in white jam action, you really have an opportunity here to force your opponent into situations where they have to take two stress tokens, which is kind of a death sentence in second edition right now, since those actions are so important.
And I also like that, you know, the first part of that ability, getting that calculate token when you do a red maneuver, I think this just really makes this ship quite tough to handle. It really opens up all of its maneuvers. Actually, maybe it narrows it down. Really, you only want to be doing the red maneuvers turn after turn, but it just works so well. You know, if you throw advanced sensors on there, now you can take an action, do a red maneuver, get a calculate token, and then at the end of the turn, pass off that stress token and do that turn after turn.
Yeah, and this is definitely a ship that wants to stay in the middle of the fight there just to get as many triggers off of that Forlom ability as possible and put your opponent in a really precarious situation. And, I mean, this ship on the baseline has a lot going for it. It's a medium base there, which has become very popular. And it can move relatively quick thanks to that, slightly longer than a small base ship. It's got 9 hit points, which makes it very sturdy even with its 1 agility. And you still have 3 attack dice going out of front firing arc, which if you combine with advanced sensors there, you're going to be able to get a target lock, take a red maneuver, and still get that calculate token. And you got a pretty well-modified shot there.
And one thing that I've really been impressed with Forlom, I mean, it does great in that scrum, but then it clears off that stress, passes it on to the opponent, and then you can take a 2 or 4K, grab a target lock with advanced sensors, you did a red maneuver, pick up a calculate token. You know, you might not be within range 1 that turn, but you have target lock, calculate, and probably have a pretty good position to throw those 3 red dice at your opponent there.
And even with a couple upgrades, Forlom is not terribly expensive still, so you're going to be able to fit some pretty nice heavy hitters in your list as well, or maybe another heavy hitter in a couple of those controlling Jakku gunrunners. So a lot of strong options here as a nice, pretty cost-effective control ship for scum and villainy.
Absolutely. I for alliteration reasons, I really wanted Forlom to be the 4th best scum ship, but he's just too strong. Definitely needed that 3rd spot there.
So are you going to start calling him 3-lom?
All right. And for me here, you know, number 1 and number 2 are well above the rest of the pack. these are the clear front runners for the Scum faction. You know, if you're not including either of these ships in your list, I think you should be reconsidering a little bit. I just think they both bring a lot to the table here.
Well, and I know you're especially excited to talk about number two on our list here because I know how much you love Hawks. So we've got number two on our list, Polyb Godalhi, an Initiative 3 Hawk coming in at just 38 points base.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what can we say that we haven't already said about Polyb on this show? He's just an amazing zone control platform that you're including. And yeah, for just 38 points, that's pretty easy to fit into a list. Though, in truth, he's probably going to cost you a bit more. Seems like most of the successful builds with Polyb are including that Moldy Crow title, which is a bit expensive, but does dramatically boost Polyb's no-fly zone. Now, when we talk about that no-fly zone, I think we should probably mention Polyb's ability here. At the start of the engagement phase, you may choose one enemy ship in your firing arc at range 0 to 2. If you do, transfer one focus or evade token from that ship to yourself.
Now, this was a really strong ability back in first edition, and it is very powerful, possibly even more powerful right now in second edition. Action economy is at a premium right now. It's hard to get lots of tokens right now, so being able to not only take a token from your opponent's ship, but move that onto one of your own ships is a very powerful effect. Combine that with the reasonably expensive Moldy Crow title, but if you're stealing focus tokens, you can actually hold onto those focus tokens with the Moldy Crow title, so you can maintain that value even if you're not able to spend them or not wanting to spend them on that turn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this ability puts you up two actions. You know, you're taking one from your opponent. That's their one precious action they got this turn, probably. You're taking that focus or evade token away, and, you know, then you get the token. So you're up in action there as well.
And unlike how it appeared in first edition, the second edition Moldy Crow title grants you a 3-dice forward firing arc. So you can actually still put some damage out, even with just a little Hawk 290.
Yeah, Tim, that's just secondary. 3 dice is nice and all, but really we just want that 180 firing arc here to trigger Polyb's ability. That's where all the money's at. I'm usually don't really care if I'm rolling 2 or 3 dice at my opponent. It's awesome when you get to use the 3 dice, though. But I think the main reason you're paying points for that Moldy Crow is to get that 180 firing arc for Polyb's ability.
Well, I don't think we can discount how effective the ship is against TIE Phantoms either. So the two main reasons I think it's good against TIE Phantoms is obviously the lead TIE Phantom we're seeing out there right now is Whisper, often loaded out with that Darth Vader crew card where you can choose a ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 2, spend that force charge and force them to discard a token or take a damage. Really powerful game effect right now. Well, Polyb really comes in and kind of ruins everything for all TIE Phantoms. Polyb's ability to steal tokens means that you can steal an evade token from a Phantom, preventing it from being able to recloak at the end of the round, and also canceling out the ability of Juke. Oftentimes we'll see Phantoms loaded out with Juke because they're getting those free evade tokens from their ship ability. Being able to remove that token before they actually engage means that you're canceling some of their offensive modification and stealing their recloak and defensive modification.
Right, a pretty common play against Polyb is to just not take green tokens for your ships, but TIE Phantoms are pretty hard-pressed to not do that. You know, if they don't take those evade tokens, they don't get a recloak, and they're getting them for free, so it's really hard not to do that.
And Hawks aren't the most durable platforms, even if you've got some tokens piled up. They've still got just 5 hit points and 2 agility dice. But I think the reason that they're able to be such a threat is because they're often paired up with a really heavy hitter, in a lot of cases a Gurry or some other strong Scum and Villainy ship where your opponent has to decide what their target priority is. They know maybe they can focus down the Hawk, do a bunch of damage to it, but that might take a little too long while the other heavy-hitting Scum ship comes in to deal a bunch of damage. But if they ignore Polyb, then they're really going to suffer in the long run because they're going to keep losing action efficiency as Polyb steals their tokens and is still able to put out a little bit of damage.
I think Polyb really meaningfully impacts with a lot of the things the Imperials are doing. Definitely, you know, Whisper, Soontir really struggle to deal with Polyb. And, you know, you even still have that red jam action where you can try and interact with Red Line's target locks as well. You know, one thing that's pretty funny about Polyb is it can kind of struggle a little bit against Scum ships in kind of the mirror matches where if they have a bunch of calculate tokens instead of focuses, Polyb can't touch those, which is definitely something to keep in mind if you see more and more Paul of Ghidallies on the rise.
Overall, though, I think Paul has definitely earned his spot in our top five list here, coming in at number two, and I think it's going to be a strong choice in the Scum faction for some time to come.
Absolutely, Paulib. Just know you're number one in my heart forever. All right. Before we get to our number one Scum threat, I think we should bring up our honorable mentions now.
Yeah, like we said, there were a lot of great Scum and villainy ships to look at right now, but we narrowed it down to just five. We did have a couple, though, that almost made it into those top couple slots on the list, so we thought it'd be good to just draw a little attention to them.
Absolutely. I mean, these two ships have been seeing comparative success to lots of the ships on our top five list. Just in my opinion, they didn't quite measure up compared to the other choices. One of our honorable mentions is L337.
This, of course, is the escape craft coming in the Lando's Millennium Falcon expansion. And the real value, I think, of this ship is that it is really inexpensive, coming in at just 22 points right now. And it does feature that coordinate action, which is a nice complement to a lot of other Scum ships that really need those extra actions.
Absolutely. Whether it's Guri, Fenrau, Boba Fett, there's a lot of great Scum late-game ships that really enjoy an extra action. And I think giving those ships an extra action in the early turns can really help those ships survive till the end game, get them through those crucial early turns. And, you know, for just a cheap price point, L337, I think, dramatically boosts the survivability of your more important ships.
And since we always see L337 paired up with some other Scum ship that it's supporting, it again puts your opponent in a tricky situation where, sure, they could focus down the relatively weak L337, but if they do, that means they're ignoring the bigger threat that L3's there to support.
Right. Plus, there's all the cool coordinate tricks you can do, like repositioning, and then having your ships do Talon rolls or sloops. Or, in the case of Boba Fett, give him that red reinforce action, and then you can do a blue maneuver, clear the stress, and take other actions. Really opens up some of those actions that he might not normally take.
The other honorable mention we wanted to bring up was one that was fighting against Guri for that top four slot there as a strong arc dodger. Fenrau is still a very powerful ship and a pretty popular choice right now. Obviously, that ability to roll extra dice at range one is pretty strong, even with the limited action modification out there right now.
Absolutely. A range one Fenrau attack will still do plenty of damage. It might not be double modded like in the good old days, but, you know, focus, fearless, that's usually enough to put some hurt on your opponent. Plus, you know, Fenrau is an initiative 6 option for Scum, and with all the focus on I-5, Fenrau is pretty well positioned right now in the meta.
Yeah, he was definitely a choice that was close to breaking into our top five list.
All right, so we're up to our final spot here, the number one threat for Scum and Villainy. I think all of you should be able to guess this one at this point. It's one you would definitely expect to see on this list. And so, you know, there's only one spot left, and that's the number one spot. And I am extremely pleased to see this ship on top. You know, from the induction of Scum and Villainy as a faction back in wave 6 of the first edition of the game, you wanted this ship to be Scum and Villainy's all-star, and just never quite got there. But I'm pleased to say with second edition, Mr. Boba Fett is on top.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Talon Bane Cobra, but Boba Fett's pretty good too.
Yeah, the Mandalorian we all know comes in at initiative 5. On a medium base, and it's just quite a powerhouse for 80 points.
And while this is more on the expensive end of what you're going to see for Scum and Villainy ships, I think it's really worth the investment here. You don't have to throw a lot of upgrade cards on Boba Fett to make him really effective. Just having that built-in pilot ability, while you defend or perform an attack, you may reroll one of your dice for each enemy ship at range 0 to 1. Combining that with a few simple upgrade cards like the Marauder title to get you that gunnery slot and rear firing arc reroll, as well as cards like Han Solo Gunner, which is able to get you that focus token when you engage. You don't have to throw too much on here to get a really effective Boba Fett.
Absolutely. I mean, 80 points base, probably coming in realistically more closer to 90 points with upgrades. You know, that is absolutely on the expensive end, not just for Scum, but for all factions. But absolutely worth it. What I like about Boba Fett is, you know, pretty good offensive platform. 3 attack dice with 2 firing arcs. And really good modification means pretty consistent damage output that you're going to get to use turn after turn after turn, because you almost always have something in one of your firing arcs. But also you get to protect your investment with pretty consistent defense as well. So for me, Boba Fett is kind of the best of both worlds. You know, when we're talking about chess pieces, Boba Fett is absolutely a queen. This is something that can take on any threat by itself. And, you know, with that pilot ability, you can take on quite a few threats by yourself. You know, the more ships at range one, the more rerolls you get with Boba.
And you are really strong offensively and defensively. On offense, you have opportunities to take your target lock action, and then thanks to Han Solo Gunner, you're going to be able to get a focus modification in the same turn, which not a lot of ships can do. That's a pretty simple thing, but whenever you can get a focus and target lock in one turn and are throwing out three attack dice, you're going to be able to deal some damage. But you've also got that white boost, which enables you to more easily trigger Boba Fett's pilot ability. One of the nice things about Boba Fett's pilot ability is it's not based on what ship's attacking you to get defensive rerolls. So if you're being attacked at a ship from range 3, as long as you have another enemy ship within range 1, you're going to get defensive rerolls.
And, you know, for, you know, ships that want to dodge Boba Fett's arc, the way to be successful in doing that is really to get in close so you can effectively barrel roll out of that arc. But that means you risk getting at range 1. So I think it's really tough for opponents to maneuver against Boba Fett. And he also does have access to a white boost. So you have pretty good repositioning. And, you know, you do want to control your engagement with Boba Fett. But I would say of the Initiative 5 ships, this is definitely one that doesn't care as much whether or not it loses out on the bid. Because you have still reactive cards like that Han Solo Gunner, you can weather the storm a bit and just set up a wide firing arc to catch your opponent.
And Boba Fett is a really good baseline to start constructing a list here. He complements pretty much any other ship that we've mentioned on our list so far. He combines well with ships like Polyb Gadalhi, or you can even throw in a couple of those Jakku Gunrunners. Whatever you're throwing into your Scum and Villainy list, whether it's control or offense or arc dodging, Boba Fett's a great way to start building.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned him before, but I want to bring up again, Garrett Jost, winner of the Minock Open, had another innovation on Boba Fett here, included the IG-88D crew on Boba Fett. You know, we've seen cards like Perceptive Copilot or Triple Zero on Boba Fett to give him extra green dice modification in that crew slot. But here, IG-88D crew works exceptionally well. For just 4 points, you get access to a calculate action that gives you two calculates for one action. And, you know, even if you're including no other IG-88s to trigger that shared IG-2000 ability, you get really good modification for Boba Fett here. When you're rerolling as much dice as Boba Fett does, you really appreciate having your focus action split up into two different mini focuses so you can spread them out over your uses. Plus, that means you can take a calculate action and still use the Han Solo action when you activate, because you can't take a focus action twice in a turn. And, you know, in a meta where you have cards like Polyb Gadalhi or Darth Vader crew trying to take away your green tokens, having a cheap calculate token to throw away is pretty great. And then you can still have a little bit left over to use during the turn as well.
And I mean, just having the option to have two calculate tokens and a focus token and then still get rerolls both offensively and defensively from Boba Fett's pilot ability means that you're going to be able to protect your investment here and make that 90-some points that you're putting into Boba Fett stay on the table and help you win games. So that's our look at what we think are the top five Imperial threats right now. Obviously, you guys might have a different list in your mind. You might rearrange the list, throw some other ships in there. We would love to hear that from you guys, so please head on over to our Facebook page and let us know what your top five Scum and Villainy threats are.
Yeah, and if you enjoyed this new format for talking about the current meta, let us know. We're always looking for new ways to make this information as enjoyable as possible for you.
And I know we covered Imperial top five threats last week and Scum and Villainy top five threats this week. We haven't decided yet if we're going to do Rebel top five threats next week. We still have to find four more threatening Rebel ships. So quite a road ahead of us.
Yeah, definitely still looking for Rebel ships worth talking about. But if you see any out there, let us know.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go onto facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going onto patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.